Good morning. I hope that most of you are actually just still up from last night. Otherwise, you're getting up way too early. My name is Rob Graham. This is Paul McMillan and Dan Tentler.
Hello.
They're busy getting our demo working, making sure we can demo live stuff. We're going to talk today about scanning the entire internet, which really isn't a huge technological development, but it's something that tools really haven't existed before. And they're really easy tools to create, and we just haven't bothered. But we started creating these tools because now we can go to ISPs and get gigabit connections to the internet. And the internet's pretty small. It's only 4 billion addresses. So this is really an exciting thing to do, is to sit down on your command line using nmap style options and just say, I want to scan the subnet, the /0 subnet. And immediately start getting results back, just watching your screen just flow and flow and flow and flow. Why scan the internet? Well, if you're a defender, it's really actually an important thing to do. A lot of people have used MassScan to scan for Heartbleed on their own networks because a lot of scanning tools just don't support the scale. If they have hundreds of thousands of systems, most vulnerability scanning tools just can't handle the scale. Nmap does a much better job, but still, hundreds of thousands of systems, it's really slow. But MassScan, you just type it in and just a few minutes later, 100,000 systems get scanned and you find all your Heartbleed vulnerable systems. Or we have other really important answers we need to solve about the internet right now, like amplification attacks with DDoS that people have been using, such as the NTP servers that have been misconfigured. To solve those, we need to scan everything on the internet to find them. Or when like D-Link announces a vulnerability in its home routers, we'll scan the internet looking for all those D-Link servers to say how big of a botnet problem does that present to us. Or like again with Heartbleed, scan all the SSL certificates in use to see how old they are and if they've been regenerated since the bug. There's also the offensive reason. It's the deep net, and that's the kind of a popular term these days of things that you can't find by Googling them. So with MassScan, you just scan with the banners option, and you will find hackable systems within minutes. And for us, most of us are white hat researchers, and from the offensive side, it's a lot of fun. It's informative. We really don't appreciate how small the internet is until we've typed in /0 and run our scan. Also, there's 65,000 ports out there. Pick one at random and you'll find something new that no one's ever found before. Like a Siemens control system that controls a nuclear power plant or something. The talk after this one in this room, there's a home automation, I don't know what the talk was about. I didn't get the exact details, but it was like port 7468 or something like that that they scanned for and found millions of vulnerable systems. So pick a port, start scanning for it, see what the heck you get. Do a Black Hat talk or a DEF CON talk.
Who remembers the iPhone port that just came out recently, the iPhone backdoor port? It was like 62,000 something. I'm going to scan it right now. I just can't remember what the port is. Somebody shout it. Anybody remember? No?
I guess we'll have to look it up.
Worth a shot. Sorry, go on.
So lots of people say, okay, now you've excited me about scanning the whole internet. I really want to like just log on to my ISP, my hosting environment, log to VPS on Amazon and start scanning. What do I do? What are the things I need to know about? The first problem is knowing what the bandwidth limitations are. If you have a gigabit Ethernet, you're actually only sending about 48 or 476 megabits per second of actual traffic. And that's because Ethernet has a pretty large overhead. And what scanning does, TCP scanning, is you send out lots of small packets probing the devices. So the per packet overhead is actually more than the contents of the packet. So when you do a gigabit Ethernet, what you're ISP probably is going to charge you for is just the raw TCP/IP overhead, which would be 476 megabits per second. And by the way, this is a really high rate. So that comes out to 1,488,000 packets per second, but in practice, you're going to get a lot less. Switches just barf at that. And I haven't figured out why. I just know that when I connect, I get between 300,000 to maybe 800,000 packets per second. I'm not getting what Ethernet tells me I should get. Even on a well-configured switch that's got nothing on it but me, I don't get the full bandwidth. I don't know why. The billing issue is pretty interesting because different ISPs bill at different rates. Some ISPs don't seem to notice the small packets. This one time we got we did this whole scan of the internet and the ISP came back and said, yeah, but you've only used like a few megabytes total of traffic. And they weren't seeing our outbound traffic. Some ISPs, they'll give you unmetered links. And that's pretty awesome because you can just go to your heart's content. Note that there's some other subtle issues here. CCC in Germany, the Chaos Computer Club, they do their annual thing. Last year they had 100 gigabit connection to the internet, which I had other plans, but maybe this year I'll go and just bring my 10 gigabit Ethernet cards with me. But there are still problems because we're shoving lots of small packets across the wire, and apparently that breaks agreements between peering agreements. So your ISP, no matter how wonderful they are, may still get mad at you. There's the practical physical infrastructure. VPS is tend not to be able to handle the packet rate as much. It's one of the strain, the IO gets strained. As I mentioned before, the Ethernet switches slow down quite a lot. Also be aware that just because the Ethernet switch says that it will accept 500,000 packets per second, doesn't mean that the rest of the infrastructure and all the hops out to the internet will accept those. All the scanners randomize the port numbers or the targets so that on the destination side you probably won't drop any packets. The packet dropping happens on your side. So you need to scan some things and make sure, okay, I'm going to scan my own network across the internet, blast it with packet, and make sure if I send 10,000 packets that I receive 10,000 packets. Most of my scans run even less than that. I will run up multiple VPSs on different sites, different data centers, and do a scan, like one in Tokyo, one in Dallas, and one in Paris, and do that instead of blasting out a scan from one site. Mass scan shards really easy. You just do --/ shard, 1 of 5, 2 of 5, 3 of 5, and it'll split the scan. Your biggest issue is abuse complaints. The internet now is done in a way that when people do abusive things like spam or SEO optimization and stuff and scanning of websites, the complaints come back to the ISPs, and the ISPs will block them and cancel those customer accounts. And even if your ISP is nice and willing and wants you to scan from their network, they don't really have much choice because other organizations will just blacklist their entire address range, their entire AS number, or peering agreements will they'll just stop peering with them. And so even if your ISP is nice still, they don't have much choice in this. They can't let you do too much nasty stuff. And so part of that is responding to abuse complaints and answering them, which we'll get into. Some things are worse than others. Doing a heartbleed scan these days with all the IDS detection out there saying someone's exploiting me, that gets a lot. So we've been doing a heartbleed scan once a month now for the past several months, which by the way, there's about 300,000 systems vulnerable. And that's generated a huge amount of complaints. By the way, we've also run a Tor exit node. That's actually generated more complaints than just the heartbleed scan. So still, that's the relative level. HTTP scan tends to put you on the fail to ban lists. So put something nice in your user registry. That's one of the configuration options, --/ user agent. So that, say something nice like, you know, we're doing a research scan. And then various IDSs have rules and stuff, and it's nice to try to evade them not to to try to get away with something evil, but change your signature of what you're doing to evade them so you just don't make people upset. Sadly, and this is a bad thing, is today's methodology for monitoring the network tends to monitor the inbound stuff. There's this old joke about this guy is looking on the ground and looking for something, and his friend asks, well, what are you looking for? And he says, well, I dropped my keys over there and I can't find them. And his friend asks, but why are you looking over here? And the guy says, well, the light's better over here. And that's what most organizations do these days, is they monitor the inbound attacks for hackers because the light's better, because you put an IDS on the wire and immediately you see alerts coming up because there's always this background radiation of someone's doing something on the internet, sending you packets, and you'll get events. The light's better on the inbound side. But the detection you really want is on the outbound side. What is all the response? So, for example, one of the abuse complaints we get from Heartbleed is, please take us off your scanning list. And we look in our data, and the data the addresses they're giving us are ones that are vulnerable to Heartbleed. So they're monitoring our inbound stuff, saying that, are you vulnerable, and not monitoring the outbound stuff, saying, yes, we are. And that's really, really bad. So as I mentioned before, ISPs must take this seriously. One of the biggest things is the DoD gets really, really angry. Mm-hmm. And when you've got people in suits show up at the ISP's office and say, we're seeing traffic from you and we don't want to, the pressure then comes down on us, where they say, yeah, these address ranges need to be excluded. The exclude is pretty easy. It's the same way as NMAP, which is you just have a configuration file, either a file containing an exclude list, or just add to your configuration parameters, and just keep adding them. And it supports comments. So we just have this long exclude list of address ranges. Whenever people send us an abuse mail, and we say, yes, hello, we're just doing research scanning, we'll happily take you off the list if you want. And they give us their IP address range. And then we add to this list. Now, one of the cool things that we wish we could do is to have a public exclude list. But most everyone who sends us a request to be taken off our list doesn't want that to be known publicly.
So, a funny aside about this. So everybody says, take me off your list because I'm worried someone will be able to go look up what my IP ranges are for my organization so they can hack me. Fortunately, bgp.he.net has all this information publicly available in a really nice, easily searchable format, which is occasionally necessary when they don't want to tell you their ranges, but they still want you to stop scanning them, which is I don't understand.
Yeah, and Paul's got the block list open. So Paul's got the part of the block list open, and one of the other things that's really fun is people will run IDS and IPS sensors on whole different subnet masks and different net blocks and different ISPs, and they have automated complaint messages that come in and say, dear so-and-so, you're doing malicious activity. Sorry, I didn't know a single SYN packet was malicious, but you know, whatever.
Oh, it's malicious.
A single SYN packet's malicious. The internet is over. They would write in a complaint and say, take these net blocks off your list, or take us off your list and give us no information at all. And in one particular case, we had to go back and forth 3 or 4 times with them because they didn't. Their automated messages asked us to take their publicly known, straightforward front-end IP addresses off their lists, but their sensors were on different lists. So we kept doing scans, and their sensors would keep picking up scans and keep complaining for us to take off IPs that were already in the block list. And we're like, we don't know what you guys are. Take your crack back to the dealer. You got bad crack. Like, tell them you want better crack. Stop. So it's bizarre. And when you scan the whole internet, you get a massive grab bag of random. Like, every possible ridiculous thing that can happen will. And every scan you do, like, you think, we have, like, several pages now long with multiple huge CIDR net blocks of stuff we're leaving off the scans. And every single time we do a scan, like, I'm doing a scan right now on the port 62078, the iPhone backdoor port. There are 542,000 IPs responding. That doesn't necessarily mean they're iPhones. It just means there's something that's responding. But I'm going to get abuse complaints, and I hope that Maybe some come in while we're on stage and I can share them because they're insane.
Some of them.
And one of the things is people, a lot of defenders, don't believe that you are scanning the entire internet.
Oh, yeah.
And so yeah. they have their company, and they've got some well-known addresses that are identifiably belonging to them, but they've also got the secret subnet over there that no one's supposed to know also belongs to them. And then they see your scan go evenly across the entire, all those ranges. And so their conclusion is, oh my God, they're hacking me because they know me, they're targeting me, because how else would they have known to associate that secret subnet to our main subnetwork? And so they're convinced that we're hacking them. There's a really cool story about 6 months ago. I was on a podcast with this guy. He was going to be one of the hosts. And the night before, I just launched a scan of the internet. And he starts tweeting how he was woken up on an emergency conference call because they were getting hacked. And he had to calm him down, talk him down, and go back to sleep. And now apparently he says that whenever I do a scan, the ticket gets opened up. It immediately gets closed. It's just Rob scanning again. This is a great story. And I think this would be the best one to tell it.
Oh, yes. Oh, this was a good time. So going back to abuse complaints and dealing with people complaining, like I said, it's a grab bag and you get a lot of random stuff. I have a friend of mine who runs the operation in which I'm hosted, and he's my ISP. So he's been very kind in letting me do this sort of scanning. Not a lot of people will let you do this. If you go to any of the major providers and say, hi, I want to use like 800 meg a second to scan the internet, they're like, haha, no. So I wanted to work with him and be very open about what I was doing and when I was scanning and what I was scanning, so that if he got weird, bizarre complaints and he had to deal with the crazy, that he was better prepared to deal with the scenario. So I did a scan for something. I think it was VNC. I don't remember. It was ShmooCon this year in like February. And the three of us were sat in like lobby conning it till 3 a.m. doing our scans. And the next morning, before the talk, I started getting phone calls from my ISP. And he was like, hey, we got some abuse letters and we want to insulate you from this customer or from this person because he's kind of belligerent. And I said, okay, well, what can I do? He says, just add these IP addresses to your block list and be done with it. All right, fine. So a few minutes later, he called me again. He says, we're still getting complaints. And I said, we do the scan and we get complaints randomly for the next week because people don't check their logs immediately, right? And one guy from Australia, it's got to be an Australian, right? Decided that he was so upset that I literally sent a single SYN packet to his systems. And when he sent in his complaint, my ISP guy was cordial and responded and said, hi, you know, we're doing internet research. This is all open. You can see this website where this guy has everything documented. And I put it all up on my site. Like, here's where I'm doing my research, and here's the intention, and here's how you can contact me. And because, I guess, he deals with so much random crap on his ingress interface, we were the only people to ever respond to an abuse complaint from him. He like unleashed this torrent of crazy on us. And it was like opening the fucking floodgates. And he, up to and including, was screaming at these people on the phone saying he was going to call the internet police. And I went, no, you're lying to me. And he's like, no, we swear. He was threatening to call the internet police. And I'm like, okay. 3 hours later, I own internetpolice.us, and now my scans come from internetpolice.us. So, you have to know how to work the crazy. So now, yeah, all my scanning comes from internetpolice.us, and the scan that I'm running right now, that I'm scanning the iPhone port, if you're on...
Your thing's not working.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, did it break?
Apparently your site's down.
Boo, I'll fix it in a sec.
Yeah, we should fix it.
Okay, but yeah, so like right now, if you have, I should also say that we're also going to be doing probably several live scans while we're here. And if you have a Verizon device, and I think AT&T, your phone is directly connected to the internet, and we will be touching you. Against your will, wherever your phone may be. So I found 912,000 devices apparently responding to this port. And I should say that, Rob's probably gonna get to it. There's 1 million or so, or is it 2 million devices that respond to everything? So like that's a whole separate rabbit hole of a project, is going and finding every load balancer, firewall, router, and other device that responds to absolutely everything, because usually when you do this kind of work, you have to do it in multiple passes. So we use mass scan for the first sweep to see if the port is open. And then if the port is open, then there's like a secondary process where we decide what to do with the open port. So like if you're scanning for Redis, for example, there's a ton of open Redis instances on the internet. And from there, you connect to it and issue the monitor command. And then sometimes it asks you for credentials, in which case you ignore it. And other times it gives you credit card numbers and Facebook session cookies and Twitter session cookies. And what are you doing? They have these gnarly hardened front ends with like 2A SSL certificates and credentialing and OAuth. And they really harden the front end, but then they have this transport mechanism that's completely public, unencrypted on the internet. So you can bypass all of that and see like, hey, look, these are credit cards. What am I doing? you do it in stages, right? So what we found out was when the secondary pass would go through and we would find a substantially lower number of things that the first sweep produced. So the first sweep would produce several million results. And the second sweep would say, well, out of those several million results, you have like 200,000 living hosts. And we're like, that's bizarre. What's the deal? So we started testing it by hand, and it turns out that there's devices that just listen on every port and respond to everything. And I'm like, it's 2014, and people don't know what a SYN flood is. And they're configuring their devices to just answer to everything. So I'm thinking that like we're doing these, we're in the hotel lobby, tinkering around at 3 a.m, and somewhere there's a guy with his head on fire because his IDS went down or his firewall went down because somebody configured it to, I think Checkpoint's guilty of this too. They have these settings where, oh yeah, this is gonna block Nmap. We'll just respond to everything and it'll confuse the scanners. And we're like, we're scanning with like 8 gigs a second.
Not good for you.
You might want to rethink this strategy. Let's see how it works out for him, Cotton, right?
So one of my favorite complaints I get back is the one saying to the effect of, we've blocked you at the firewall, neener, neener. Of like, I don't care. I don't even know who you are. I don't really care.
Yeah.
One of the cool things is how broken organizations are. There's this financial group, which apparently is classified a National Security Objective Facility Class A, as they repeatedly tell me every time I do a scan. It's in Korea, and I have no idea what that is. But what they usefully do is they CC their entire organization on the abuse emails.
Oh, yeah. You had one job.
So if you want a list of sysadmins that you want to fish for that organization, well, here's a friendly list that they so nicely give us. So work closely with your ISP. Be nice to them. That's the same story we have here for all of us. Is we work closely with the ISPs. We use the swipe or the SWIP feature, the Shared Who Is project, to get like an IP address range that's assigned to us, so that when you do the reverse lookup, all the abuse comes to us and not to our ISP.
So usually about half the complaints will CC our ISP anyway, even though they have our contact info. They just want to CC everybody. I got one that was CC'd to Postmaster at the domain that I was sending email that the contact info was from, which was completely unassociated with the IPs that I was scanning from. They CC everyone that comes back in any kind of a lookup. So expect that, you know. Don't use your work email if you're the Postmaster at work is going to be worried about this.
Okay. Internetpolice.us is up again. Sorry. Apache wasn't running. Derp. Derp indeed.
You're doing it wrong.
It works for me.
There it goes.
Me too. Also, if you scroll down a little bit, there's that like it's in little gray. I need to fix it. File a complaint, which I need to like do something with this, because you can file a complaint and it's a form that goes to nowhere. But
you should probably fix that, Dan.
Yeah. No, that was intentional, but like. I'm now thinking like, yeah, I have to deal with like silly people trying to troll me with like shitty XSS and SQLi or whatever, but like I can't imagine if people have tried to fill this form out and what went into it, because that would be like a whole Tumblr feed, like security reactions, just what goes in that form.
Yeah.
That would be so rad. Yeah, so right now, as we speak, I'm doing a scan, and right now there are sysadmins running around scrambling, screaming, and the internet police is scanning us.
Well,
just wait.
Hopefully they've caught on by now and are not as, I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
No,
or maybe
I wouldn't,
you wouldn't.
Actually.
So you can also do anonymous VPS if you want to be a jerk and pay with Bitcoin and stuff. Some will allow you to complete your scan. Before they cancel your account, some will just, like LineNode, will cancel you very, very quickly. And so your $50 deposit, you'll just get canceled immediately. LineNode is actually pretty friendly. If you're a well-known, verifiable organization and you scan at slow rates, they actually are quite friendly to this whole thing. But they're not friendly to the whole anonymous VPS, do bad stuff. So I wanted to quickly talk about MassScan itself. It's just like Nmap, but not. The biggest thing is that Nmap does what's called a synchronous scan. It does a host at a time, it starts the scan, waits for the response, sends retries if it doesn't get back the expected response, and that's what slows it down. What MassScan does is it just blasts out packets, and never waits for a response. And that's why it can send out 4 billion packets, because it doesn't have 4 billion records in memory waiting for the response. It doesn't care, it doesn't know. And what it's using is sync cookies so that to validate the responses that come back that match what it thinks it might have sent. So this allows you to be 1,000 times faster. It's not a technology thing, it's just it's a common thing throughout, like it's the same difference as between Apache and Nginx. Apache is an asynchronous server, can handle a lot more connections than Apache can. Nmap, of course, is a way better scanner. If you're scanning a few hosts, Nmap is just totally better. The only reason that you're using MassScan is because you want to do million node networks or billion node networks. The annoying thing about MassScan is that it has its own TCP/IP stack. Even when you run it just as a normal mode, it's still going off and doing its own TCP/IP stack, bypassing the underlying system. And so you get little weird things you don't notice, like there's duplicate ARPs. The biggest problem is when you're doing banner checking, where you want to establish a TCP connection, send an HTTP request, and get the response and record the response. The normal stack will reset those connections. So you have to do a firewall rule to block that. Or use a different IP address. So all of our scans, we scan from one machine, but then we have another IP address that we're scanning from that's separate from our machine. It's not used by any machine. And we just use source IP or adapter IP and set that as our IP address and scan from that. And then we don't have any firewall rules to worry about. So the basic configuration is set your, if you don't want to rely upon the defaults, if you're having problems, just set them manually with the source IP, the source port, and you have to configure the router MAC address. Usually the router IP just works because it'll ARP it. So banner checking is the fun stuff with MassScan. So MassScan will go off, check the ports. That's your basic scan, but usually you want to get more data, like SSL certificates or HTTP headers. And that's where you need to establish the connection and prevent the reset from killing the connection. We don't support like NSC style scripting, but there's a lot of stuff you can do. If all you want to do is check for one protocol that's odd, put it into a file, and then do dash dash hello string, that file name, and it will just shove that data across the port when it connects with TCP. So if you've got some weird protocol, like some weird industrial control protocol in a weird port, that's an easy way to find just that industrial control protocol, ignoring all those systems that just respond with a SYNAC with nothing. One of the cool things is that you can do, you can break apart a scan, you can shard it. So if you've got 50 different machines, you can just do shard 1 of 50, 2 of 50, 3 of 50 across the machines. You can use multiple IP addresses as a range. If you've got a class C and you just want to use all those IP addresses, you just type all of them in or type in the range. The same thing with a port, you can do a range of source ports. So we're sitting around doing our 3-day or our days, talking until 3 a.m. in the morning, drinking, and we're imagining, yes, we can also do this. if you wanted to sin flood someone with all IP addresses from the internet, that could be your source range. Your ISP might not allow it, might do egress filtering, so it might not work, but in theory, the scanner can do it.
The 90s are alive and well right here.
Also, it can do load testing. The a really cool feature is Infinite, which, it does crash firewalls a lot.
I've done that recently, and next generation firewalls that do deep packet inspection, ooh, they get angry. Ooh, yeah. So I was at a client site several months ago, they were putting in new fancy pants firewalls, and I said, I have an idea. So with Dinky Laptop, I go, okay, mass scan to a network on the other side of the firewall that doesn't exist, just scan. One NGFW had Active Directory authentication, and all of its little gauges went to 100%, and AD broke, and it never came back. And another one just went to 100%, dropped a lot of packets, but as soon as I controlled C out of mass scan, it came back to life. So, yes, this is a wonderful firewall load testing tool. So,
testing tool.
It breaks clouds, too.
So,
yeah. Oh, I may have overflowed a cam table and a switch at a client once with it, too, by mistake.
So that's the optimization we're doing with the whole asynchronous thing. For us, is a billion connections in a few minutes. That's no problem. But the devices start straining at 100,000 connections. And so everything falls over. But the Infinite feature is cool because you just type --infinite, and when it completes the scan, it'll just restart it. And if all the TCP connections are open from the previous scan, they remain open. So you can create easily 100 million even, concurrent connections. And nothing else handles that right now. By the way, no one ever uses this, but I always output to binary format. That's the /OB parameter. And then read it later with the --rescan of that to then output to XML or JSON or text or some other format. No one ever uses that but me, but I want to mention it. So one of the cool things, Paul was mentioning this when we were talking about the talk, that should work. I'd never done it before, but it's really cool. You can receive on one IP address, like a burner phone, and then you transmit from a colo that's got a gigabit connection. And then you spoof the IP address from the colo of the phone. So all the packets go out to the internet at a very high rate, and then the responses come back at a very low rate to the phone. And what's cool about that is the abuse complaints don't go back to your colo account. They go to the phone. So I did that. I went out and got a T-Mobile chip, put it in my little Ninja telephone from 2 years ago, from which I can run mass scan because I jailbroken it, compiled in the command line. But that didn't work because T-Mobile throws you through a firewall. I could not get all the responses coming back through the firewall. Clear has a direct access to the network. They also have a firewall, so the SINs can't come in, but the SYNACs can come in just fine. So Clear works great for that. T-Mobile doesn't. We don't know about Verizon and AT&T. I think Verizon does have you directly on the internet, so that it'll work with Verizon prepaid phones and stuff like that. But all I've actually verified working is this. And by the way, it works really cool because MassScan, what you do is you set the same seed. So MassScan randomizes the parameters, randomizes the SYN cookies.
I just had a thought. So NSA is scanning all intercontinental traffic. You want to make them really mad? Well, set up your phone.
Yeah, this will do intercontinentally.
Yeah, set up your phone on the other side of some ocean and just send all the results over there and watch them. What the hell is going on? Yes. Just a thought, if you're bored.
But you can still do the banner checking. So the device, the mask on one end, because that's, again, the asynchronous nature, it gets a SYNAC, it checks to see if it matches the seed, and if it does, it will then establish the TCP connection. So you can do complicated scans like pulling down everyone's certificates or a heartbleed scan or something, and all from this device, but the massive gigabit per second is on these other servers, potentially, just blasting the whole internet. Okay, let's talk about some results. So what Paul here did, and it's really cool, is he set up a little script to then download the image. And he, so here's an example of.
So you probably can't see, you probably can't read the title of that window. It says, I blanked out where it is, County Warrant Processing System. Something or other, state
strong.
Police.
The derp is very strong.
This one went away pretty quickly when I called my contact and said, hey, you know, we should probably do something about this. But there's stuff like this all over the results. And, you know, this is probably someone who is all kinds of compliant with all the local regs, except that they didn't seem to think that a remote desktop protocol with no password was a problem.
Man. So Paul's got lots of cool results. We'll hopefully get to more. Another one was Heartbleed. We do a Heartbleed scan. And there's still 300,000 systems vulnerable. And so here's a list of the subject names coming back from here. And what we can see is they're not websites that are vulnerable. It's things like Synology NASs. That's the TS series NAS down at the bottom. 10,000 of those. There's also a Synology box. There's a Hikvision, which is cameras. So there's all these devices out there that are vulnerable that you would never find if you come in via the DNS name. They'd only scan via the IP addresses. But there are some websites that are vulnerable. And like one long list, start with secure dot some domain. Some I think are honeypots like NANOG, which is the North American Network Operators Group or something. There's a guy who's doing mainframe scanning and found lots of cool mainframes. I didn't want to include any of his picks here, but they're really rad to see what mainframes are on the internet.
That guy has a Tumblr and it's mainframes, like live mainframes. Like, what are you, why is this on the internet? DMV and like pharmacies and stuff. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try to do a live demo here.
How many goats did you sacrifice to the demo gods? The answer is always not enough.
So. Yeah, so right before this talk, for some reason our servers have not wanted to respond. So like here's our server, it's internetsurvey2.erratasec.com. That's the one where most of our scans from, and it's not responding to me. So I'm going to have Paul log onto his server and do a demo.
Give me another like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'll start talking about what's going on while the configuration script is running. So I lost access to the servers that I was going to be doing this demo from and only got it back about 2 hours ago. So my configuration scripts have been running and installing the distributed scanner that I built. The way this works is that it runs mass scan from a host that's friendly to run mass scan on. Come talk to me afterwards if you want hosting recommendations. And it scans port 5900, which is VNC. And I started that about 15, 20 minutes ago, and I think it's just about done with the whole internet now. The follow-up processing is a set of cloud images that don't run SYN scans. What they do is they take the results of the mass scan output through a Redis queue, and just shave off a result, go try to connect to the VNC, speak the VNC protocol. If the VNC protocol says you may connect without authentication, because most VNC says you need a password. But if it says you may connect without authentication, it's a very explicit thing. We're not, you know, hacking into something that's not authorized. Then it goes and puts it back in the queue and takes a screenshot of it. You know, just logs in, VNC screenshots it, and puts it back out into the queue. The results, when they start flowing in, will be available at results.survey.tx.ai. I don't know if they're up yet. It doesn't look like it. I'm waiting for the screenshot machines to come back up. TX.ai. You're not on the DEF CON network. You won't be able to get to it unless you're on the DEF CON network.
I'm on the DEF CON network.
Are you on the DEF CON network?
I'm on this, whatever this Ethernet cable is.
Oh, you're probably coming from a different egress IP. Let me fix that for you.
So as the results come in, they just flow through this queue. And the beautiful thing is we can scale this follow-up processing as wide as we want. I normally would have about 100 cloud workers running to do this process. I haven't gotten it scaled up yet because they only just got installed here. But you know, they cost me 16 cents an hour. So it's perfectly reasonable to spin them up for a job like this and then tear them down when you're done with them.
Here, if you can add that. My silly Verizon one.
If you can't quite do a live demo yet, how about you?
It's loading.
Loading.
You
won't be able to see the results you're looking for in this right now. Give me another minute.
Yeah. They need 5 minutes. They're not ready.
Okay.
Well, in the meanwhile, we'll just do a scan from the DEF CON network. We'll see how much they like that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine they'll notice.
So we can do a slow scan. So, mass scan. Let's do like the 23 is a big hosting environment.
How to piss off the wall of sheep.
We can do like port 80. And we can do a slow packet rate of just like 10 packets per second. But it's really cool because we start getting results immediately. That's one of the cool things about mass scan versus nmap is that nmap waits until the entire host scan is done. And it does a ping, it then does some other checks, and it takes a while. So when you scan a subnetwork, it takes a while before you get any result. You start your nmap scan, you go away for a coffee and come back, realize you made a mistake in the configuration parameters, do it again. And it's an iterative process. But one of the cool things with mass scan is because it's just a port at a time. I don't ping first, I don't do anything first, I just send that port request. So even at a slow rate like 10,000 packets per second, they just start coming back. And if we just want to do a little bit more obnoxiousness, like 10,000 packets per second, I'm sure they won't mind. So actually, it doesn't look like it's much faster. That's because this whole screen is taking thousands of response, dumping them to the screen, and then doing the next 1 second update. But that's the little thing that reports there at the bottom of the left-hand side is how many packets per second successfully doing. I should probably stop this. Which is actually really bad because 23 is the range I test with because there's lots of hosting environments. There's Amazon there, there's Akamai, there's a bunch of other web servers out there. So I know that there's always something listening on port 80. And I don't get any abuse complaints back from that range. So they're a good thing to test with. But we can also do something like this. So one of the things I do with mass scan, and it's kind of boss, is that I warn you that you probably misfingered something and you probably don't want to scan the entire internet. So I make you actually exclude one address. So now I'm doing 10 packets per second. But even now, 10 packets per second across the entire internet, we already get back one result.
Those look like Microsoft minutes.
But one of the cool things is it does give you a time of how long remaining. Now, 10 packets per second, that remaining is going to be a long time.
It's like when you copy a file in Windows 95.
But it's really cool when you type in that 0000/0, the zero subnet, meaning the internet, and at a much faster rate, like a million packets per second, and it tells you, yeah, it's about an hour.
Yeah, for reference, I'm getting 690,000 packets a second on my scan that's going right now, and I started as I walked in, and it was telling me an hour and 20 minutes. Just on like a modest gig pipe.
Can we connect that to the VGA port?
All I have is HDMI. So if we can sort that out somehow.
Can you screen that and have me log into your machine and pop that up?
Oh, there we go. Okay, the results are starting to flow in. Results.survey.tx.ai. So now I need to scale this out in the cloud. But we're starting to get results now.
You might be.
Okay, what's your IP address?
Okay. 172.18.93.
My IP is 192.168.0.1. Why can't you add me?
Because someone got mad last time I did this and exposed it to the whole public internet, so I figure I'll just expose it to all of DEF CON, and then they can't complain. Okay, so what's that IP address?
7214.
So by the way, MassScan does, one thing that's also boss about MassScan is it's just...
Try it again.
Make, well, I'm getting errors here, but it compiles on Mac OS, Windows. Well, there's some results that all you guys can go look at. Results.
Yeah, everybody except for you apparently can see them. Can one of you who's in the room who has a laptop see if you can get to that?
Yeah.
Are you seeing results there?
Yeah.
Cool.
So here's the thing about here's the rule of DEF CON is we call them the demo gods or the demo demons. Is that even when your demo is actually working, something does not work.
Try it now. What?
Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Okay.
It's working. Some of you can get it, but I can't get it.
Okay. What's your IP, Rob?
Well, it's...
there's those Korean billboards again.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently there's like a swath of billboards in Korea that are advertising and...
172.18.43.46. It's up on the screen down there.
And this is one of those opportunities where, like, you think of Hollywood movies and you're saying, well, so I'm looking at a billboard that's probably in a really big public place and, you know, oh, exploitable, the trolling opportunities. I should stay away from Korean ranges because they're all the same.
Go through the browser. I think your routing is funky. Actually, here. Fuck it. We'll just do it from my machine because we're about out of time.
Can we just hook up the video?
Yeah. Do you have a...
have to bring your machine up here. So any last minute questions, by the way? Question over there. Yeah, it's open source. I probably should have mentioned that before and had a link to it. It's on GitHub. So if you just Google GitHub MassScan, you'll probably find it. But it's GitHub/ Robert David Graham, my name, / MassScan. So the question for IPv6 and the implications are it's going to not really work. There are some things we can do knowing how IPv6 allocates addresses, and you can maybe do target ranges.
89.
Oh, nice. 89. Well done. So,
to be clear, these are all results that have been dynamically found while we've been on stage while they've been furiously typing.
This is a train.
Yeah, we gotta go though. Bye.
So check.
Oh my god.
So look at the results. They're up there.
46.
Nice. Well done.